Hey, everybody, it's Ramon Foster. Where is he? What is that background there?
I'm in an office building somewhere, man. I'm in Knoxville right now.
Of course you are. Yeah. He's in Knoxville, Tennessee, everybody, the day before the NFL draft. We are just brimming with stuff for you today, are we not?
We are, man. I'm excited. I've seen your comments on Twitter. I've seen y'all's comments everywhere. Bring back the Ramon Show daily. I've seen it, DK. They want it. Well, I'll tell you this. We get an opportunity to at least react to what's going to happen over the next how many days? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because free agents got to be signed too. And it's exactly what Dennis got going on right here, DK.
Exactly. Remember here that we have three shows coming up here today, tomorrow, and Friday. So we're going to be hitting on the last second stuff leading into the first round pick tomorrow. And then we're going to set you up for day two of the draft on Friday, as well as discussing whoever it is that the Steelers might take in the first round. And you know what? Moan went to Knoxville. Moan went to Knoxville and forgot something. So we're going to try to pull this off without a bell. I know. First world problems.
We can do it the old school way. We can do it the old school way where we clap.
Oh, I remember the clap. Remember that's the right. Clap.
Are you ready, DK?
I actually am.
All right, let's do it.
Man, the origin of the clap goes way back. We used to use it to align so that the boss here could align. She could put the audio to match the video. Right. So it didn't look like we were talking like this.
No doubt, DK. I want to go back to Dennis's post, man.
Comment. Okay, let's do it.
That's where we are. That's what we are, DK. We are, what, less than 24 hours away? A little bit over 24 hours away at this point.
Offensive tackle Dennis has in the first round, wide receiver in the second round, defensive line in the third round. That's going to be tough, especially without Montez Sweat. If you're going to imagine that he's going to be dropping center and then a wide receiver, meaning a second wide receiver. Dennis is certainly in the spirit. Moan, what's your feel right now just at number 20? Because we're on the eve of the first round.
We are, man. 20 is a position where a lot of talent is going to leave out in front of you, especially if certain teams move up, man, as it pertains to needs of the Rams, needs from the Bills, needs from just a multitude of teams behind Pittsburgh. And on top of that, the teams that are in front of you, like there are teams like the Chargers that do need a tackle, but they also need a wide receiver. There are teams like the Saints who also need a tackle, can also use another wide receiver or playmaker. Also, these are the things that you're running into. What you don't have issues with is outside edge rush. Okay. That's fine. Safety, I think you're fine in a sense. But you do have to figure out what you're going to do with the O-line. What are you going to do with the D-line? Are you going to go after a cornerback? And is 22 rich for a center? As I see Cool Ray right now put up Fulaga, Latham, and Fatano. Those are the guys that are in your range right there. And 100% correct, DK. To me, I guess the first conversation is which one is most important? Is it O-tackle? Is it wide receiver at 20? Or do you go after a center? Like, which one is most important to you, DK? Let's start there first.
Well, out of the two, my answer to this is going to be both. And here's why. Here's why. There have been these little hints that have been dropped between Omar and Mike Tomlin over the past, I'd say about the month or so, where they keep stressing positional flexibility on the offensive line. Okay, now you know way better than anybody else in our broader discussion here that that's always been the case with Tomlin. Okay, he wants you to be his value, but there's a difference between saying, "Well, I want everybody to be Spencer Anderson. I want everybody to be the guy that can play all five, and become the ultimate backup," and saying, "Hey, listen, we look at Latham here, or we look at Faitano, and we say, all right, we think you could actually have a chance to start over at this position." And that's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And here's a situation too, where if you mentioned Fatano, you also mentioned J.C. Latham too. Doing more research and breaking him down also. So he's been primarily a right tackle slash, I think, projected to be a guard. He could be either one of those positions. So Nick Saban came out and said the reason he didn't go back over to the left was because they got a perennial All-American out of high school, Caden Proctor, who played left tackle. They were building for the future, so they put a young guy at left tackle. J.C. Latham's plan was to go to left tackle until they got the recruit that they were searching after. So I think he's positioned flexible as far as moving him to the left side, but you also get in the college world a dominant right tackle in the things that he's done for Alabama. There's a lot of flexibility when you mention guys like Fatano or others, Fuaga, when it comes down to what you're looking for. If you're asking me, Of those three and the style of ball to play, I think Fuaga is a Talis Fuaga is a guy, DK, that is a AFC North guy. It's almost as if Pittsburgh doesn't get him, Cincinnati could get him. Like, as far as playing right tackle in the AFC North, and you know how I feel about the guys that have a sense of physicality, have a knack for just being good and available. He's those things, man, as it pertains to what you want. And again, with that, you move Broderick over. Again, you still have Dan Moore in-house. That's always going to be a thing. But what did Mike Tomlin and Omar say last year as it pertains to that group? We want a room full of competition. We want a building full of competition. That's why you've seen some of the signings and the moves they've made, because they know if you get stagnant in the approach of trying to get better or making sure guys are comfortable, then you lose. And you can't have that considering what other folks – side your division is doing, how strong the team that Baltimore has. And I got a feeling Cleveland is going to have a way to be relevant again.
That's interesting on a lot of fronts. Well, you kind of did there. I see a situation where you're there and you're looking at different positions. You're looking at different athletes and you're looking at them as, we use this term a lot, clay. You're looking at them as, okay, if this class of tackles is so rich and these guys are available in the first round, and we think that that player could be a center, could be an even better center, why would we take a lesser athlete just because they've played the center position in college? Do you follow me now?
I follow you, but I also look at this and say quality does matter. Okay.
Quality of play.
Quality of play, quality of the position that you're picking, right? So here's the thing: it's a couple of things that someone that I've had to, since we've had these long breaks, right? DK, is this, and talking to people that's been around the league for a very long time, they say you need about 12 to 14 guys, and you know what I mean by guys, like your
guys,
the dudes that you call on and say, "Hey, we got us a few of those dudes," and they step off the bus, you get them. When you look at this team right now, it might have 8. Right. And maybe I'm off on it. Offensively, Russ got to figure it out. Right. Justin Fields has to figure it out. Right. You like what George can be, but he got to figure it out. The dudes that you know and love is probably the two running backs. You like George. You like Pat. But when it boils down to it, you don't have 12 to 14 dudes on that team that you say to yourself, all right, this is what we're capable of doing. Defensively, I think they're heavy on that side with the playmakers that they have. Right, DK? So when you mention going to get a pedigree, a type of dude that can push you over the top, that's why I look at position-specific guys like maybe a Marius Mims, maybe a J.C. Latham, maybe a Jackson Powers Johnson that is a specialty, right? Because then I know that they can dominate at those spots. This team has a need for playmakers, and I don't care if that means they put their hand in the ground, DK, offensively.
Look at Jackson B busting me here. He's got me, because that is what I'm talking about. It is about Graham Bart, not of Duke.
Yeah.
I'm saying that if you have, and because he is that one that people have talked about that can go, that can do this, go in and out, okay, or just go in, okay.
Yeah.
But what happens is you get the clay, you bring him in, and you say, listen, all we got to do is teach you how to do this and this and this and this and this, but we will take you and your natural A-level athleticism and size and quickness and everything else, right?
Yep.
This is where I really think this is heading. I'm not saying I'm not picking a guy, okay?
Okay.
But I think that the Clay approach to center might be something that fits them even better than Jackson Powers Johnson, say a natural center who's done nothing but.
So who's your day one starter, Graham Barton?
Oh yeah, man. Hey, listen, when you hand Kendrick Green number 53, as soon as he walks onto the campus in Latrobe, you've busted that mold forever.
Okay. All right. I hear you. I just think there's a good bit of teaching that comes along with a guy like him. And I'm not opposed to a DK. I know where you're going to. He has the size, he has the playmaking ability. He's done it in some sense in his freshman year. But again, there is a, I guess the next question is this, how long, because we talked about this in the last podcast we did, how long of a timeline does this coaching staff have to actually get to that point to where you see the payoff of a guy like him, right? Like that's my thing as far as this draft goes. I feel like when you change OCs, you ship certain guys off, you're pretty much in a reset, rebuild mode mindset. At least that's where I am right now. So if you're telling me that you're going to have a guy that's played tackle, right, but mm-hmm. he's projected to be an interior guy, but he's never in the last, like, 3 years had that many center snaps, that's where it becomes problematic to me to say, all right, we got time. Because I said the last time we did this show, the clock, I think the sand is going through the hourglass as it pertains to seeing the results that you want when it comes down to this team and the wins and the production on the field. That's where having a guy like him becomes super problematic.
That makes sense. Hey, listen, when we come back, and boy, are you guys lined up for this. When we come back, it's going to be the only segment that actually matters. Look at Moan being all social over there.
I am.
Which one is the only segment that matters, Foster?
That's Hey Moan.
It actually is. Oh, boy.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. He's a really happy guy. You'd almost think he's in Knoxville, Tennessee or something. He actually
is. I am, man. I got one of my best friends right out the window right now, man. Him and his family just FaceTiming folks and showing them, like, I'm doing some type of work. They don't believe I work, DK.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of skeptical about the whole work thing. They think you're just, like, doing whatever.
They do. Absolutely, man. So that's why I'm giggling like crazy. I'm ready to go.
That's good stuff. This segment of the show is called Hey Moan, for those of you who are new to us, and it's exactly what it sounds like. You start off your question with Hey Moan, and Moan will, you know, he'll address it. We're going to start today with a guest here in person at our downtown shop at 224 Fifth Avenue, and this is Brad Richards. He's been with us for a long time as a reader, listener, big fan of the Ramon Foster Show. And
what's up, Brad?
Hey, Ramon, how are you?
Right here. I'm all right. How are you doing?
There you go.
Good to see you. It's good to be with you.
You too. Thanks for coming in live with us.
Oh, appreciate that. And appreciate you guys for this great show. Hey, Ramon, have a question. And I'm just curious, with the Steelers creating $7 million in cap space today, what do you think their plans are for that money?
They restructured Alex Highsmith today.
Yeah.
What that does is it gives you flexibility if you need to move up and either sign and trade somebody or exchange picks. Like, that's what you're setting yourself up for. I know a lot of this fan base is wondering, Brandon Ayuk,
right.
Is that something to do, you know, with the receiver out of Cincinnati? It just gives you that flexibility to say, hey, we'll exchange picks. And I'll also take this guy, or one or the other has to happen. Right now, you got to have some money when you're dealing with this time of the year, whether it be players or whether that be draft spots. So I think they're just gearing up for what could happen. Not that anything has to. And you got to also realize, too, that, you know, the rookie pay that they have to have going into this the fall, and other free agents that could potentially be signed, too. I'm not all in on it just yet, but I have just been hearing rumblings that this could be a fireworks type of draft.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. It seems like what Deion was saying with Omar's comments, you know, you just don't know where this is going to go. But for some reason, I just have a feeling this is going to be an exciting draft this year for the Steelers.
Man, I had somebody today, I had Charles Davis on my radio show in Nashville, and he said this is one of the first years where the Rams have a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And they could throw a glitch into a lot of people's systems as far as what the draft board is capable of. Matt Stafford is older. You have Sean McVay, who's motivated to coach and get better and make it his team. They just signed a crap ton of offensive linemen to some major, major deals. So they're in a position to where they're probably about to start a rebuild or planning towards the future. I don't know, you know, if it involves the Steelers, but of course they're picking at 19. They're picking at 19. I think we're at 20 or somewhere in that range. Right. So it could be very fascinating with what happens in this first 20 picks of the draft and just throwing the Rams in there because, again, Charles Davis has been a national guy. He didn't say that for no reason, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Well, Moan, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys, and thanks for taking my question. We'll watch. Absolutely. Keep watching. Thank you, brother. You. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Courtland Sutton is a name that's come up a lot as it relates to the wide receivers. And, you know, you can start doing anything you want with when you start trade speculation, because now it's not just a handful of prospects and it's not a limited field. It's literally everybody in the league who can be your guy.
and I don't know if you heard me telling them right there.
Yes,
but like,
I did.
That was fascinating. Like Charles. And of course, there's so much speculation in the last 24 hours before the draft. But I did somewhat think that was interesting that the Rams could shake up the draft by going to get a quarterback if Stafford's on his way out.
The draft, having the Rams as a participant is hilarious. I thought they traded away all of their picks for the next decade or to win that Super Bowl. That's good stuff. This is from Vic, who says, "Hey, Moan." See, in the spirit like that.
I love
that. How would you feel if the Steelers drafted a corner in the first? And that being if OT and wide receiver that they wanted were gone.
And that's what you got to deal with right there is the what ifs. That's the reason they set their draft boards vertically and some will tell you horizontally for just figuring out what's next and what's the highest value and stuff like that. I wouldn't be opposed to it. One of the mocks I saw was Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo being a guy. Matt guy that's played well, the projected first rounder in that mid first to 20 range. I don't have a problem with it again, but you also have to set yourself up and say this. You'll have Joey Porter Jr. and a young guy on the other side. That right there, depending on how quick a young corner can grow, may be problematic for you. I love the idea of two young corners that can go back-to-back the way Joey Porter Jr. and a Quinyon Mitchell or somebody else could be. Terrion Arnold, I think he'll be gone by that time out of Alabama. But it will be fascinating to see. I'm not opposed to it. It's a matter of getting some playmakers for that squad more than anything.
Greg says, "Hey, Moan, who's the unknown steal of this draft? Who's your guy where everyone's going to regret that they let him go by?"
I got the answer right now, and I was about to bring him up, DK. Mm-hmm. You ready?
I am.
I'm going to answer this with a statement. Cooper DeJean.
Okay. I've been hearing his name quite a bit.
Man, if you look at his tape, it's there. His numbers are there. His production is there. And his durability is there. Not only that, he kick return and punt return and also plays all special teams. The guy is fast. He's done nothing but make plays for Iowa. And he's gritty and downhill, not afraid to stick his face in the fan, as I've heard those guys like James Ferrier say. To me, I think it may be a lot of people that have buyers regret on not picking a guy like Cooper DeJean if he's in your world.
The two names that are coming up today are the obvious. Mentioned Courtland Sutton. There's also Brandon Ayuk. Who should we go after? I'm gonna, I'm always the wet blanket on these things, and remind that there's been actually no reporting whatsoever to support that the Steelers are after either of them. There's been no actual reporting by a professional reporter that this is happening. The only thing that was known is that Omar, you know, did his restructure with Highsmith.
He moved some money.
He moved some money, and he's doing it for something. And if he isn't doing it for a wide receiver, I can't imagine what he would be doing it for. So from there, any names that anybody brings up, I mean, out of those guys, you'd take Ayuk 100 times out of 100, wouldn't you?
100%. But yeah, it comes down to balance of the salary cap and stuff like that. So it's a matter of what works for this team. Is there a playmaker that has to be had? Okay, is there a playmaker that has to be had on this team at the wide receiver position? I'm saying a heck yes. If this wasn't a family network that we run here, DK,
yeah,
I'm going to go further than that, okay? There is a playmaker that has to be had, but here's the thing about it. I said this before, okay? Let's not treat ourselves like the Cleveland Browns or we're just jumping on everybody else's free agents. Like, it's got to work, and the money got to make sense, and it's got to be somebody that's sustainable and understand what the representation of Ben Astilla is. And, yes, I'm going to be a little cocky about that.
Oh, that's all right. 11 years.
Yeah.
11 years.
Yes, DK. That's where I'm at with that one.
Barbara comes in, excuse me, with a $5 contribution. Says, hey, Moan, how does Arthur Smith's offense gel with Pat Meyer's offensive line coaching scheme? How does that work? And I've been wondering a lot about the same. I ran into Coach Meyer a couple days ago at the facility, looking good, going out looking for a brisk walk. Yeah. Around the facility. You got to like that, you know? The coaches, people don't realize these guys try really hard to make sure they don't get stuck in their desk.
In their office.
They get out and they move. They're in the weight room with you guys.
They are, for the most part. They usually beat us in the weight room, DK. They do. But Barber,
how does it work? I don't have that answer.
But Barber, here's the thing. They have to be one and the same, essentially. Pat Meyer's offensive line coaching scheme has to fit what Arthur Smith wants, but it has to be a collaboration of what they want to do as an offense. And here's the thing about Arthur Smith offense. You're going to run the ball, and then you're going to run the ball some more, and it needs to be strong protection on play action because he does like to take shots down the field. He likes to take shots over the middle of the offense. Also, if you have a quarterback that's capable of doing it, you will run right. You will run left. He will designate who's the stronger side of the line, and let those guys cook. So as it pertains to how you run the ball, it depends on who wins their battles also, because I've seen him in Tennessee have Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffo of the mindset run left. And you know what they did? They did not apologize for it. They ran left and beat people up. So it's a matter of what kind of guys you have in the room more than anything as it pertains to Coach Pat Meyer. So all of this can mean nothing if those dudes up front can't move bodies. I'll say this, though. We saw them move bodies at the end of the year. And if that's what that group is capable of doing, then I'll live that life with them, especially if they got a somewhat rebuild, too.
Tycho says, hey, Moan, have you had fun during this year's draft film study? Do you approach it differently than when you were playing? The way you watch these things, is your work on draft analysis 100% for the media? Is there anybody? Wow, there's a lot of questions here, Tycho. Let's just take the first couple here. Has it been fun? And is it different than how you did it when scouting or reviewing things as a player?
So I'm a little bit more apologetic to players. Like, I see mistakes and say, oh, okay, he can clean that up. I think most stuff is teachable and coachable because, again, I always tell you, coaches have a job to coach guys up to. I'll never excuse them. Is it fun for me? Yes, it still is fun because I love looking at tape and I love seeing guys who could be a gem or say, yeah, he has what it takes as it pertains to him being the next pro. I see it different. Like what I've noticed, DK, and maybe you can explain this or just relate to it or maybe not. Media folks that break down guys, when there is a wild consensus that, hey, that guy sucks, they run with it. I'm of the mindset, like, why does he suck? Let me see. You know, what kind of
That's
guy is he before?
Yeah,
because one bad tape, one bad practice, one bad day doesn't mean you're a terrible player.
You have a way better, an infinitely better idea than anybody who's a reporter or even an analyst of what is fixable, what's easily fixable. It's the whole wait till we get our hands on him type of thinking here. Whereas Tycho, to your other part of your question, do you approach it differently as a player? As a player, aren't you just looking at for what you can do to beat the guy on Sunday? Yeah. Like, he's not fixing it by Sunday.
I promise you, man. It is that darn simple, DK, to where you just say, this may take time. And that's the other thing, too. What do you want, right, as a fan base? You want immediate results? Well, guess what that probably means? Probably cornerback or wide receiver, or do you want somebody that's going to continually grow over time? I will say this, whoever they pick at 20, especially offensive line, Patience, period. Patience, because guys are taught a little bit different, and don't expect DeCastro penalty results like year one. That's different and rare, and I think you guys realize that now.
Oh, Hornets. Hey, Mahone, what day is it?
Hump day. Definitely needed that.
Luke wants to know if the Steelers would dare take a punter again.
That's too rich for me. That's too rich. Man.
They've done long snappers. They've done punters.
Mm-hmm. You know what I say, DK?
Get a bunch of defensive linemen in the later rounds.
I say take a trip to Australia and get one. Take a trip to Australia and get one, man.
Get one of those random rugby guys that seem to be showing up in everybody's conversations of late. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Get you an Aussie.
We have a couple more we're going to take today. These are some good questions here. Absolute Finest says, hey, Moan, could Barton play at right tackle if the Steelers can get Zach Frazier in the second round? Then what you're doing is obviously you're stacking offensive line again at the top of the draft. You're passing up a bunch of – nobody's even mentioning wide receivers, which is really turning – you can't do that. You just you know, even if you are successful in getting somebody else's veteran in a trade, okay, you still need wide receiver talent. You still need more of it. Anyway, is Barton more projected to be in interior or exterior? Where would you put him?
I'd say interior. I 100% say this. He moves like a guard. He moves people around like a guard. He's a steamroller when it comes to putting his head down and moving folks. Again, when it comes to him snapping the ball, like there will be some hiccups. Ain't no doubt about it. Like, I don't think you guys understand when you're asking for a guy like Graham Barton, like, to snap the ball, take on the D tackle and move him, that requires a lot of training. Now, unless he's been doing that in his pre-draft stuff, that's one thing.
Or on the side.
and
the playground by himself.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize his ability. I'd move him into guard first, and if Zach Frazier's there in the second, cool. But again, you got needs at wide receiver.
And you don't at guard.
No, you don't. 20 to me is a true center. That's where unless you're telling me you're going to sit the first round, Graham Barton to let him develop. And that right there usually don't fly.
Well, I will say this. You know, a lot of this conversation can change if the Steelers were to get a wide receiver, meaning from somebody else. And yes. I think of whatever – Listen, on Monday, Omar and especially Omar was really wound tight, okay? And you can imagine these guys, everything that they do builds up to this three-day crescendo. And here we are Monday, and he's forced to come into this room and talk to us, which is a big waste of his time, right? Not that he wasn't cordial and cooperative and everything, but you could just tell, like, Omar's thinking, I got stuff to do. Can we like, get this done, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking here, somehow today, on the eve of the NFL draft, Omar found the time and the inclination and the motivation to do a restructure with a veteran player. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he even said himself when he was talking about fifth-year options and stuff, he goes, we're going to wait till next week to even start getting into that because we're busy with the draft. But he wasn't too busy.
Yeah. And again, what's the Steelers picks again, DK? First round is 20. Second round is when? 40. Where is it at, man? When we're talking about – hold up. I'll get it here in a second. Second round, the Steelers are picking pick 51. So here's the thing too, right? So you're talking about – it's a deep class of wide receivers, deep class of tackles. But you got to be very strategic in what you're asking for, too, because from 20 to 51 is 31 other picks, okay, that you got to go in front of you. And other teams are trying to front load this draft as much as they can. So what type of guy are you looking for? Are you looking for Xavier Leggett, which I think is really, really good. Devontae Walker out of North Carolina, who didn't play a whole lot in his last year coming out. Jermaine Burton, who has some character issues and stuff like that out of Alabama. These are the questions you got to ask yourself if you're talking about pushing yourself all the way down and saying, oh, well, we'll go get a receiver in the third or fourth round. Do you believe that, you know, these guys will be impactful? You need an impactful guy to be right beside George Pickens, because here's the thing about it. As much as they want to run the ball and be a part of it, you got to be able to spin this thing through the air. And who at this point are you overly confident in that's going to make plays for you outside of George at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, and from there, you're talking about a possession receiver specifically. Okay, yeah. You don't just let Deontay walk out the door, or in this case, shove him out the door and say, eh. You know, I mean,
right.
Whether you liked Deontay or not, whether you respected his work or not, what he was supposed to do still needs to be done. The tasks are still on the list.
Yes. And I do have trust. Okay, so it's two things that I think we've gotten spoiled to real quick, DK.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the wide receivers and saying they're, you know, they're not as important, or hey, we'll get one later. Is one, yeah, Pittsburgh has always found that hidden gem from sixth rounders to third rounders, from Mike Wallace. We can name them, right, DK? What's the common denominator in all those things in those receivers that we saw develop?
Oh, they had that toughness to them. Yeah.
That and they had that quarterback with them.
Oh, well. Ben. Yeah. I thought you meant the receivers themselves.
Oh, no. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. They had Ben. Ben is a good thing for a good quality in a receiver.
And you're telling me that you got to figure, yeah, Absolute Fine has had it. Yeah, right. So Russ, we don't know what we're going to get just yet, and neither would Justin Fields. So what better way than try to get them a better quality wide receiver instead of saying, oh, we'll develop one? You got Russ and Justin because they didn't pick up his fifth year option for one calendar year, and that's it.
Yeah, everybody else got your drift here. Look at them all. Like, oh, yeah, Ben. Absolutely. It's Ben.
They played their part, but yeah. That's different having a Hall of Famer right there.
All right. Here's our last one for today. It comes from not Jaime saying yo. That actually wasn't it. Travis says, if you, Moan, were Russell Wilson and you were picking based on what you already know, this offense that you got, who would you want?
His big old age, give me protection, center or tackle.
All three quarterbacks will say
that. And you know where I'm going after that? Yeah. Give me a wide receiver and two.
It's funny. People will remember Ben would used to say all the time, give me weapons. But you know why Ben would say that?
Why?
He already had the protection. He didn't have it. He could take it for granted. Am I right?
We set back. We let him do the dirty work, DK. Yes, we need weapons.
Yeah, give me weapons. It wasn't until Ben's final season in the league where he went, whoa, that's what this is like without protection? Oh, no. Give me those guys instead. Keep your weapons.
Please, man. If Omar made some moves, what does that $7 million give us in total free cap right now? Did we get those numbers, DK?
I've seen them at around 12 or 13 before.
12 or 13.
So you get up to 20, and you can pretty much bring in anybody that you want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it could be for nothing. Who knows?
The day before the draft, though, that's where, I mean.
Go ahead.
If I hadn't seen him myself on Monday, he had no time for this. He had no time to say, hey, Alex, got a minute? You know, and here's your agent. Because those aren't simple conversations. You have to explain all that. He didn't have time for that. He needed to get it done. He needed to get it done for something. And it's not to pay the draft picks. You know, that doesn't happen until a lot later.
Yeah, that is true, man.
For anybody who doesn't know that, so.
After DK said that, Chris B., I don't know if it's free space for next year. You can't plan that far ahead again.
I'm not of the day before the draft.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset that this squad got to win, and got to win in a convincing way.
And then there's that. When we come back, we're going to wrap up some business and set up tomorrow's show right after this little outro. You like chickpeas?
I like hummus.
Yeah, you don't really think of one without the other, huh?
Yeah, I like hummus. Chickpeas is I've had it before. I want to act like I want with some Greek food and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's what she did. She just went into Market Square, this Greek restaurant. There's all these like pieces of gyros and pita bread and tomatoes, and then there's chickpeas all over it.
Yeah, great source of protein.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think that would all necessarily go together, like especially the chickpeas, but it really does.
It does. There's a little texture to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for anybody who missed this earlier, show tomorrow, same time, same everything. You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. And then after that, I'm going to be heading over to the South Side to cover the draft from Steelers headquarters. And then Friday, we will be here again at the same time, and we will have stuff.
We'll recap and go over. Yeah, we'll get some real stuff then, man.
You get the sense this is going to be big, this whole event. I don't mean just the draft. I mean the whole getting a wide receiver and everything. Man, this is going to be big, isn't it?
The NFL has something every month. Yeah, I think so. they dominate, man. They absolutely dominate. So, yeah, I think it's going to be big, especially if we get four quarterbacks in the first four picks.
That would be something here. Josh Dobbs says chickpeas are hummus.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So, that's how it's made out of chickpeas. Here comes the condescending look. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I said I like hummus. Yeah. It's the
same thing. I don't know. Maybe you guys stick to football. Yeah, we stick to football, she says. Don't worry. Don't worry about chickpeas.
Tell her yes, ma'am.
that's right. One learns not to argue. Marv, you're totally correct. I believe this. Tomorrow's gonna be fun. And it might even be fun in the daytime before we get to Raj and all his hugs and everything. It's gonna be good stuff.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'll see you guys right back here, man. I love it.
Yep. All right, guys.
Woo.
See you tomorrow.
Woo.